day that the Lord has made. Amen? And we're supposed to rejoice and be glad in it. I was thinking about this week because today we're going to talk about your heart. Scott, are you going to get all emotional? Yes, we are, a little bit. But we're supposed to rejoice in every day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It doesn't think, let's ponder it, make sense of it, and explain it. So I want to get you thinking that way. I think one of the best things that we do as a church is learn to think like him, feel like him. Our men are trying to do that. We try to do that on Monday night, 7 o'clock, right in here. I would love to see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right in here. But if you come in here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and you're a man, we won't see you because we have a new fire pit. I am not exaggerating with my arms. It is 3 feet wide. It is right behind the fellowship hall. We're going to have a bonfire and talk about the Lord, talk about us and what has God designed us to be and how men need men to become men. We do a Wednesday morning version of that, 7 a.m. That is right in here. Okay, so if you have questions about that, come see me. You can talk to most of the guys in here because we get kind of pretty awesome attendance at both. So there's that. And then very excited and I'm a little bit sad about this one. We have my father-in-law, Wayne Klink. May he rest in peace, although I know he's partying. Because his party side started to come out as he got older. But 31st, we're going to have our ceremony right in here, 11 a.m., Saturday, May 31st. Who's invited? Bingo. There you go. Wayne wanted everybody here. We want everybody here. And we must be gluttons for punishment because everybody's coming to the house after. Okay? We'll have sandwiches or tacos or something. I don't know. No need RSVP. Just show up 11 o'clock. We're going to celebrate the Lord and talk about Wayne. And then we're going to fellowship back at the house afterwards. Okay. Mark it down. Calendar. We're not sending anything out. This is it. We'll talk about it next Sunday too. And then that's it. Okay. So 2 weeks from yesterday, that's that. And now we'll continue in our series we began last week, Trust in the Lord. It comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Of course, we're going to do a lot more than just those two verses. Last week, we did first six verses of chapter 3, 1 through 6. And we talked a little bit about how it was emphasizing the idea of trust. This week, we're gonna look at the second phrase of that two-verse section. It says, with all your heart, okay? So that's what we're doing today. Can we do a whole sermon just on with all your heart? Absolutely, because I think I'm, a little less than shock you. I think I'm going to surprise you, maybe draw your attention to some realities of Scripture and the God that we follow and the value and emphasis that he puts on heart and emotion. Very excited about it. We're going to set maybe a new record with the number of different passages we look at on a single Sunday. We're taxing the AV team to see if they can keep up. Okay. But it should be good. And then we'll trust that the Lord is in it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. And let us never take for granted. Let us always honor, glorify, and worship that you are who you are and that you give us full access to you, that you wrote us letters, you give us a spirit, you guide our path. We thank you for what we do in that today. We trust, Lord, that what we do will also draw attention to your motivation behind it. Why would you go to such great lengths Why would you sacrifice your own son for us? Why conquer sin? Why eliminate death? Great reasons for that, Lord, and what we're going to look at this morning. I pray that it would be clear, that it would be embraced, and that you would show us how to apply, how to change. Grow us this morning and as we move on from this information. And we pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We read it last week. I want to emphasize some different things this week. Is there always more in Scripture than the one time you read it? Yeah, multiple meanings. I love that and hate it because I'm always missing something, but I'm also always getting something. And so we're going to do an exercise in that over the next, well, if you count today, 5 weeks. But it says this, Proverbs 3, 1, my son, do not forget my teaching. By the way, I forgot to emphasize last week. Is this only for sons?
No.
Dudes? Is God a guys only club? Is this a generic statement to people? Okay, most all the time you need to take gender references that way in Scripture. Unless it says specifically husbands love your wives, then we're talking about the one side, okay? But people, us, let's remember rather than do not forget. How about we remember his instruction? Just put that whole sentence in different wording. Why? To emphasize, to make you think about it a little more. But have your heart comply with my commandments. Ooh, did we just get our word? Have your heart comply with my commandments. That makes no sense to me. I feel confused right now. My dad used to say, hey, do what I say. Does that say do what I say? My dad never said to me, I know some dads, some, I know less about moms and this kind of thing. These were more dad interactions with me. Hey, you're going to do this and you're going to like it. Now, if you grew up that way, I'm sorry. God forgive your dad or whatever. Or maybe dad was right. My dad never said anything like that to me because it makes no sense. Like when you're learning arithmetic, are you supposed to experience joy? No, you're supposed to be focusing on the intellect. Wait, I carry the one? Why do I carry the what? You know, we're trying to figure out details. He says in instructions, shouldn't it say, have your head comply with my commandments? That seems like it would be more synonymous. It would be congruent. They would fit together. Intellect, commandments, teaching, where do those go? Your head? I never felt great learning Spanish. I love Spanish. I love Latinos and the whole thing. But when you're in class and you're trying to learn, what's the word for bread? Thank you. I had no thoughts of any emotions when I was trying to learn that word. Okay? And yet there's something about instruction over time. When it works, when it fits, where you have, sometimes you call them aha moments, or the light bulb goes off, or I finally got it, and then you start having fun with it, right? When you start to learn to enjoy information, then when somebody teaches you the word for seatbelt in Spanish, it becomes glorious, right? I mean, because how many people actually know cinturón de seguridad and can say it the way it was meant to be said, right? Now, most Latin people look at me when I say seatbelt, they go, what is wrong with him? You know what's wrong with me? I've learned to enjoy the phrasing, the tone, the accent, the meaning. I mean, folks, let's figure this out. There's a lot of things Latin people do better than us. Amen? How about we enjoy those things? Rather than think about them too much. How about this? Even better, God does all things better than us? How about when we figure that out, we learn to enjoy it rather than question it? You know, one of the worst questions in the Bible, or worst questions on the street? Did God really say, you know, we learn at the very beginning of the book. First time we get in trouble. Very first time, Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, you can do whatever you want. And how'd they get in trouble? Well, they disobey God? Okay. They listened to the serpent? Okay. They tasted the fruit? Okay. Whatever. For today, here's how it started. The serpent said to Eve, did God really say? You know that God never asks us to think about, evaluate, explain, understand his precepts, his instructions, his commands, his laws? What? Yeah. I love it. Now, it never made sense to me as a kid, but when I became a dad, my kids, I don't think about what I said. Just do it and learn to enjoy it. Why? Because I'm the dad. Now, from a human standpoint, I love that. Why? Well, because, Scott, you're combative and difficult and egotistical. And no. I want best for my kids. And there's a time in your kid's life where about the only thing you should let them decide is whether they're having chocolate or vanilla after dinner. Everything else, you got to train them. And whether they like it or not, I mean, it's bright red. It's so fun looking. It's warm. I want to touch it. That's a burning stove. No, you can't touch that, right? And here's the thing. If we fail to learn emotion in our instruction, you'll learn it eventually. Not the easy way, Sally. You said it before I even tease it. You're going to learn it the hard way either way. And in preparing for this, in looking at this passage, I'm blown away at how many times God talks about the heart in Scripture as it pertains to information. Wow. Let's keep going. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Not your head, your heart is the gatekeeper to your longevity and your peace. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Kindness, is that a head thing or a heart thing? Truth, a head thing or a heart thing? It's kind of both, right? And everybody's scared to death right now to answer that question. I know he's setting us up somehow. Truth, is that information? Yeah, but when does truth become truth? When you believe it, when you start to feel it, when you experience the ramifications. Bind them around the neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Man, information again on the heart rather than in the head. Now, there's some of you that like to dabble and fancy yourself in like Hebrew history and Old Testament law and Jewish culture and the whole thing. And you're going to say, well, you know, Scott, in that culture, when they referred to the heart, they referred to the whole of the being, and that was kind of where they did their thinking, was kind of in their heart per se. Okay, I gotcha. But does it include emotion? And why would he never say head then? Because he wants to make sure that the whole of the being. And yes, Jewish culture would say your heart, your soul, that's the whole of your being. That's your thinking and your emotions combined. I like to think that the good Lord above knew to write it this way because we're going to get to a culture when Greek influence and then modern Western culture was going to change to separating the two. Well, there's things that make sense and then there's things that you feel. And, you know, sometimes those get convoluted and mess with each other. Which one of those two was meant to be most important to God in your life? I gave you two options. We're at Rock Bible Church. What's the answer when I give you two options and I ask you a question? Both. Okay? Does God want you to throw out your brain? No. And does God want you to ignore your emotions and be emotionally numb?
No.
Guys, oh, sorry, did I say that? To be emotionally engaged? I tell you what, folks, one of the hardest things for me, when something comes up, how do I approach it? We've met. I put my head on top of it and my eyeballs and start evaluating and I start solving when somebody wants me to empathize with their position. Like, what are you doing? I don't know. I think if we get a cart and a couple guys, we could... Wait, that's not what I wanted to know. Are you hearing my emotion and what's going on here? Okay. So we've got to write things on our heart so we make sure that we're doing the emotional side of our existence. Which draws us back to the original phrase, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Is trust a mind decision or a heart emotion? It is. But I've been really wrestling this week with the idea of belief. What is belief? Is belief a mental decision? Is faith intellectual? Because let's enjoy something that I learned years ago. If you can talk somebody into Christ, you can talk somebody out of Christ. Intellect can be used both directions. But I heard in the book of Hebrews that faith is the belief in things hoped for and the assurance of things yet seen. Any of that sound intellectual? It sounds all heart to me. And then I have to ask the question, wait a minute. Is the creator of all intellect and knowledge and how chemicals go together and physics and gravitational pull and all that, you know, the science guy, the head of all science guy, is he really a heart guy? God, I mean. I think he's a heart person. Write him on your heart. Verse 4, here we go. So you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. He's looking, his sight is looking to give you favor because he wants to see heart in you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own. Bam. Did he just put heart and head in contrast? Because if they're ever in question, if they are ever at odds, based on this, where do you function from? That's so weird. It's like I've met almost no guys that function that way. Ladies, I love you. You're ahead of us. Yes, I said it out loud at church, and that's why you're on the planet to help us, because we are deficient at times. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I love this because this implies that we're going a certain direction. In going a certain direction, you have to choose which direction you put your feet. That means you're making decisions, but he's saying, let's base that path in your heart and his will. That, folks, is learned behavior. Somebody pointed out to me last week on like doctor level that talking to God, engaging a God is a learned behavior. And they said, I think you really should emphasize that a little bit more. Yes, engaging with God is a learned behavior. Why? Because functioning from your heart is a learned behavior. Okay? And yes, ladies, you're better than us at it, but you're not good at it. Why, Scott, you're so... No? Oh, yeah. Bam! Chucked him out of here, right? Who's good at functioning from the heart? God. Does he count? Bonnie, he counts today? Okay. God's good at it. Compared to him, what's the score? I mean, we're just not good at it. Ladies, you are better at it than us. Okay? That's why we love mom so much. That's why we marry women. That's why we love daughters, right? And I, you know what? Here's the part that bugs me. And this is a pride thing for sure as a dude and a dad. Most of the time, my daughter is better at this than me. And it bugs. She's like a third of my age. And when you learn lessons from your daughter, when you watch her excel, and then you ask her about it, like, hey, when you process like, that awesome thing that just happened, tell me about that. And she gives you a better answer than what you were trying to lead her to. It's like, oh, well, I guess I don't have to worry about her. On the negative side, you watch her go through something negative, and then you ask her, hey, what was going on? And she gives a more mature answer than you do. That happened recently. Let's function from the heart, and let us praise the Lord for the reading of his word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's jump into fill-ins right now, and then I want to shotgun all over the Bible today because there's just some great stuff I found this week. First one is this. If we're going to start functioning from the heart and all of the heart, without doubt or exception, that's going to require change, yeah? We must rely on change. And in that change, what are we trying to rely on? If our change reliance leads to something, it's compliance. Somebody knew I was going to rhyme it, right? Change reliance leads to heart compliance. Heart compliance with what? God's word, God's will. How about let's cut out will and word? Compliance with God. And if you were going to add a word after God in this, compliance with God's heart. Well, you know, I know it sounds cliche and kind of cheesy, but I get paid by the bad pastor puns. Whew, say that 11 times fast. We're trying to do heart transplant, all of us. We got to get rid of how our heart has functioned, and we got to try and transplant his heart into ours, right? One of the fun ways I heard it says is, what does God want? Oh, what do you want? That was the second question. Oh, that's a more fun list. I like that list. And then the third one, they stabbed me in the back. Are they the same? What does God want? What do I want? And are they the same? Man, I fail at that test because I'm still in process of changing my heart to care about the things that he cares about. But why does he give us instruction? Why does he give us law so that we'll change? Why does he want us to change? Why does he give us... Look at that. That's a lot of information. Look at how thick that is. What is this? A lot of information, right? Why? Let him who boasts in this, that he knows and understands me. He wants to be known. Is that you want to have your theology doctrinally sound? I took Scott's 20-week class and read the book he gave me, and I am doctrinally sound. What does that get you? One of the most doctrinally sound people of all time, his name was Nick. Last name was Demas. Nicodemus, he asked God that question, and Jesus said to him, are you yet the head of the Pharisees? And you don't know this? You got to be born again. You got to be different. You got to change. I love that. Verse 1, what's it say? Verse 1, it says, you got to get your heart to comply. That's where I got my compliance word for the fill in there. Get your heart to comply with his teaching. Get in alignment. Get on his path. Follow his trajectory. Is that talking about destination or is that talking about process? Kind of both. Good job, Bonnie. If you had to pick one, is God more concerned about your destination?
Yes, eternity.
Or how you get there? He knows where you're going to end up. He saved you a seat. He already probably made the meal. He wants to know how you're carrying yourself. I love that. You know, Jeremiah, this dark prophet, Jeremiah, he talked about it as well. Let's look what Jeremiah has to say. I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. But what's he lead with? Watch this. You might disagree. I search the heart. If you search for something, this is what we do at the Bergman House with keys. Hey, where are the keys? Two pairs of keys for every vehicle. We still can't figure out how to lose them. And we start searching. When we find the keys, it's over, right? If I was testing keys, it's continuous, right? What's this key open? It's a constant. You got to keep working on it if you're testing. We test the mind. We're constantly testing the mind. Why? Because we're not going to find the exact thing we want there. We search the heart because in the heart we can find what's exactly there. And here's the rough news. God can find both evil and righteousness in the heart. And folks, Joe, you're the safest person to look at when I say this right now, because this does not apply to you at all. Not you at all. In fact, you're the poster child of righteousness kind of in my mind right now, okay? If I ever make a poster, we're going to do a photo shoot, okay? Joey, I have met too many people with evil in their heart lately. I can't believe the things that people will do. Sometimes family? What? And I have to ask the question, is that coming from their heart? Or did they just think that up?
From their
heart. Nah. You know, I'm getting more and more disillusioned with the mind. Actually, I think that the mind is actually a tool of the heart that can be used for good or bad. Tell me the condition of the heart and I'll tell you where your mind is. I feel like things have been opening up crazy for me this way. I want to point out something as well too today, because this is something that's also different. I'm going to maybe try to do some little acrobats right now. Let's try this. Oh no, what's he going to do? Hey, come on, I used to play college soccer, okay? My body still works a little bit. You see that little thing right there where it says NASB? Yeah, we almost never do that. Here, we almost always do English Standard Version. It's more readable, but for the purposes of what we're studying, I started looking, I realized that pretty much every single verse that I wanted to go this week was said better in the NASB language, and I figure I should get you used to this version because it's the one we're going to use when we're in heaven. So let's now we have David and Solomon talking about it in Psalms and Proverbs, right? I mean, when we think about the heart and emotion, we think of songs and poetry, and David and Solomon were so good at it. Now we get Jeremiah. Some call him the angry prophet. But he's talking about the heart. Whose heart? God's. Why was he saying this to Israel? They needed a change. And they needed to start relying on God's heart more. Number two, let's look at this. I love this one because I had so much fun thinking of this week. We're going to read something. We're going to read something in your heart. Recharge is great. I love that. Write it underneath the line, not above it. Reset's great too. You could write that underneath as well. What's the contrast to heart today? Remind. I love the irony. Remind your heart. Remind the heart. Why would you have to remind the heart? Because we go to secondary emotion, anger and frustration super fast. Because we think something that's done is ultimate or difficult or evil, and it's like, eh. What's the biggest entity in all of existence? We're at church, I asked the question, the answer is? Okay. Is there anything a threat to him?
No.
Okay, so we need not worry. Ultimately, he wins. But man, we panic, we worry, we get anxious, even though the Bible says do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and peace of God, which guards your heart and your mind also. Which one was named first? Heart. Yeah, in Christ Jesus. So really, whose heart and whose mind? His. Right? Not supposed to be anxious. Fret. Let's start saying that when people are anxious around me. Are you fretting? Just to draw light to it. Right? What should we be reminding the heart of? Or how should we be reminding the heart? Remind the heart diligently. You were never going to come up with that one. Yeah, continuously is great. Diligently, we get that in this, in our passage in verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. But if we go back to the fill-in, we have to remind, and we have to do it diligently. Doug said that's continuously. What are other ways? How about regularly? Constantly. I love that. If you're going to say a good answer, you got to say it loud. Okay. Let's look at, wait, what is this? It's all these yellow letters. Deuteronomy? Whoa. Are there three different passages there? Huh. What's the title of the message? Get out your outline and look at the top. It says Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. And it says, and what's today? With all your heart. Yeah. I mean, I've already given it away at this point. Where does the idea of your whole heart come the most times in Scripture? I'll give you one guess. Oh my gosh, you're so brilliant. Now, this is a little bit weird. First five books of the Bible, written by Moses, generally consensus, okay? Five books, bunch of stuff. There's some history, right? So-and-so begat so-and-so. There's some poetry, right? And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. There's some teaching. There's some rough stories. There's some good stories. Generally, the whole of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, those five books, have a phrase they're referred to as. It's called the Pentateuch. Okay, thank you, seminary grads. Right? For those of us street people, it's called the, starts with L, rhymes with Ra. It's the law. Now, I've never been to court and had emotions work well. Right? When you go to court, just the facts. Here's how the law is written. We're dealing with an attorney right now. I will never tell the story, probably. It's boring. But man, it's like, well, this phrase and this clause and in section 7.2, that's like, all the information. When I want to feel something, right? Law is about facts. And yet we get to the end of the law. And Moses writes about your whole heart more than any other author in the whole of Scripture. Now, some of you are going to go home, you're going to try to test this, okay? When you do your search, search all of your heart, and you'll find it in Deuteronomy. That combo, if you just search the word heart, then you're going to find it in Psalms more than Deuteronomy, and they'll be like, Scott doesn't know what he's talking about, and da-da-da, and then you got to find another church. It's rough. Okay. But let's hear what Moses has to say on his way out. By the way, chapter 30 is four chapters before they announce the death of Moses. So this is his parting shot. This is, hey, I just gave you a whole bunch of law. How do you process it at the end? Let's make sense of it. He's going to make sense of it, we think, intellectually. He's going to say, no, it's a heart. Watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Only give heed yourself and keep your soul. Look at your fill-in. That's, I stole that word. I steal all my fill-ins, okay? Always come from Scripture. So that you do not forget, or so that you remember the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart. Heart. All the days of your life, but make them known to your sons, your grandsons. Remember the day the Lord stood before you at Horeb when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me that I may let them hear my words. So they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and that they may teach their children. Go back to your fill-in and what does it say? It says, remind the heart of his works and his words. He says, teach these words. Why? Because you need them in the heart. And never forget the things your eyes have seen. And I tell you what, I'm really good at forgetting. When I remember the things that my eyes have seen, like the early days of the church and what God did to bring this place about. How about we go back farther? When I wasn't attending church at all and I showed up for the first time. How about the remembering that I accepted Christ 2 weeks in a row because I had no idea of how God worked and the pastor had to come by. He's like, Scott, I'm sorry. You only needed to accept him once, right? You're getting so much attention today, Joey. All right, Austin, you're next. I watched 3 children be born. Maybe even greater miracle. I heard her say yes. Will you marry me? I have seen God do amazing things. When I remember those things, I remember who he is. And I get a window into his heart. I start to pair those with the love letters that he's written me. What kind of letters? Is this facts? Kind of. And yet, Moses says the reason this was written to you was for your heart and not your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 6. By the way, if you're really want to so like look up these things, watch this. We're going to go really fast, okay? Deuteronomy 4, 6, 10, 23, like several times, and chapter 30. Those are the chapters you could look at in Deuteronomy and get some great stuff about heart. Let's look at this one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Does this sound familiar? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. Of the three, which does he lead with? Heart. Which does he end with? Heart. This is the Shema. This is the she has the right to speak on this. Say it louder. Say it louder. She is a Jew. Okay. This is like the thing all kids memorize. All of Israel knows this phrase, right? You start this, they can all finish it. They'll say it in Hebrew, but notice the emphasis on heart. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. Does it say anything about the mind there? No, I love that. Circumcise the heart. Ew. Anytime we talk about circumcision, we gotta talk about circumcision. Why'd we have circumcision? Because Abraham needed to be reminded regularly, every time he looked down, not to try and solve things by his own understanding, but to trust in the Lord. The Lord said he would give him descendants through Sarah. Abram tried to solve it through Hagar, the midwife. And God said, what have you done? Let's give you a little mark so that you remember from now on not to solve it yourself. In fact, let's mark everybody, because everybody needs to know it's what God does, not what they think. Love that. Circumcise the heart. What is, if circumcision is a sign for memory, we want to be constantly reminding our heart. Hence the fill-in. Remind the heart. Okay? Stole that fill-in too. That we're to be diligently looking at what he has done, is doing, and it gives us hope because of his words of what he will do. Always remember the things your eyes have seen. Here's maybe the best one. Look in the mirror. If you can look in the mirror, what do you know? You're still here. Who likes you? If you're still here, he likes you. No, he likes you even if you're not here. Were you saying he doesn't like Wayne anymore? No, he rescued Wayne from this terrible life. Right? But let's remember the things that our eyes have seen and how God has tried to bless us. Why? To get our attention so we can be in compliance, keeping track and keeping score. No. So that our heart changes. So we see the heart of God. Know and understand him. I love that understanding him is not from information and was never meant to be from information. I love when people say, Scott, I want to follow Christ, but I feel like I just don't know enough of script. I don't know enough about him. I haven't read enough of the Bible. Play pastor for a second. What do you tell them? You've read as much as you need to know. You know everything you need to know. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Jump the wagon. Let's go. There's no such thing as knowing too much or enough or too little, because his game is not information. Gene McGrogan knows more than you'll ever know about God, and he likes you just as much as her. Okay, there I said it. It's good news for us, right, Doc? There we go. Last one, here we go. If we're going to trust the Lord with all our heart, then we got to chase him. You know, we were never going to guess chase, so I'm going to chase him. Now, we're doing heart, so we're doing emotion. So are we chasing him as your law? Was I sarcastic enough in how I said that was the wrong answer? Is he your goal? Is he your destination? How about an emotion? Below the line, you could write as your joy. If you're changing the heart, you could say happiness. You'd be absolutely right. We're going to put delight as your delight. That's the technical answer, because we're going to steal it from one of the passages we're about to read. Of course, this is verse 5 where we get it with all your heart. But 2 Chronicles 16:9, watch this. Oh my goodness, I love this verse. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord, the mind of the Lord? No, is he testing something or is he searching for something? We distinguish those two, right? Eyes of the Lord move to and fro. Lorenzo. Told you. Throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. What's completely his? Really, shouldn't that say that he's going to strongly support those whose church attendance is perfect? I knew a guy, Mr. Hubbard. He was the director of the elementary school up at Neighborhood Church in Castro Valley, California, where I grew up and met the Lord through Larry Vold, my youth pastor, who reminded me that I only need to accept Christ once. And Mr. Hubbard, it was said, had never missed church on a Sunday his whole life. He was my much older friend, and I thought that was amazing. And for a while, I was chasing Mr. Hubbard. I'm not going to miss a Sunday. I'm going to have perfect attendance. School gets out an award every year for kids that have perfect attendance. And man, if there was that award, I'm going to go through the pearly gates and St. Peter's going to give me a perfect attendance award. And the weirdest thing happened. I started watching this guy. You know what I started to appreciate about him? Had nothing to do with his church attendance. His character. The way he treated people. This guy smiled all the time. I thought his face was going to break or it was frozen. He was happy, gracious, smart. And then I finally put the two together. Oh, that's why he went to church. I asked him, "What? Every Sunday your whole life? Like, why?" He's like, "What? It's the best place to be. Why do you go to church?" "Because it's a rule. Because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of the body as some are in the habit of doing." Yeah, it says that. But maybe the most important word in that verse is habit. What do you make a habit? And is heart compliance your reliance? And now I attend church for what it does to me, what it gives me, how it shapes me, forms me, gets me to think, teaches me to feel. That's my time with the Lord. Do we take attendance here? Never. One less thing on my job description. We come to church. We read the Bible. We pray. We fast. We do solitude. We do fellowship. We do service. We do tithing. Why? Because there are rules? No. If it's just a rule thing, I'm out. I'm gonna go find something else. I'm gonna go work for Costco. So why do all those things? They're transformative. They enable change. I love this. He strongly may support those whose heart is completely his. Completely. Mostly? High percentage? Top 1%? How much? What's another way you could say completely? Three letters, starts with A, only has two letters in it. All? Yeah. You look this word up in Hebrew. Perfect. His heart is perfectly his. In fact, you look up this word anywhere else in Scripture, this is the only place that it is translated completely. Whole is a common one. Perfect. Diligently. Right? If you looked it up and you tried to pronounce it in Hebrew, you would stop reading the Bible. No, if you had any kind of training, you would Shema, Shalem, You ever heard of the Salem witch trials? The Shalem witch trials? Really? Did we just read the Shema? And now we're reading the word Shalem? Very similar. Right? This idea of whole, total, complete, perfect, always. Doug's word, consistently. Right? How do we do that? I think we have to figure out, how do we default to referencing the Lord, whatever was going on? Whatever you think about, whatever you're reading, whatever you listen to, how do I default into, all right, what would Jesus do? Where's Jesus going with this? Most of the time, by the way, he's going to say, wait, be patient. You'll find out later. And I give you permission to hate that answer like I do. I want to answer right now, right? I want to drive through Jesus. That's what I want, but that's not how he functions. Let's go to the next one. Jeremiah 29, this is that book we read earlier. Now we're towards the end of Jeremiah. You will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Not your mind. Not your abilities, not your accomplishments, not your intellect, not your IQ, and not your scripture memorization. If you were going to only know one verse, love God, love your neighbor, you will never get to figuring that one out in its entirety. Work on that one the rest of your life. You'll be doing the right thing. And you really won't be up to speed on all the other rest of Scripture. But it says all of the law and the prophets hinge on that. Jesus said that. How do you do that? Right? Search for him. And then lastly, Psalm 37:4 says this. What's that first word? What's your last fill-in? Okay, that's where I stole it from. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your imagination. Is that what he's... Isn't that weird? Here's a scripture that says, beyond all that you can think or ask. You know what's beyond what you can think? What you can feel and experience. What happens in your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What do you want? Because now I can tell you how to get there. Well, Scott, I want specific answers. Excellent. We're on the same page. How often do you pray? What do you pray for? How do you spend time in his word? Do you hang out with people that do? Do you give any of your money anywhere ever to help other people? Where do you serve? You know, all of these are functions that take you outside of self, towards God or towards others. And then figure out which one of those works for you. Some of you who are like chasing squirrels, if you're one of them, you know what I mean. That might be silence and solitude, right? To get out of the crazy. For some of you who are introverts and you do quiet and alone all the time, pondering and thinking and sinning against. One, I don't understand you. Right? There's introvert, there's extrovert, and then there's Scott. Maybe you need to get out. You need to do forced family fun time. You need to do appointments, dates, coffees. Accept any invitation that's given to you. Why? Because you got to get out more. Wasn't a flight the other day. Guy sat down next to me, very different from me. I could tell by the hat he was wearing. We won't go into that. We started talking, started asking him questions because I just had to poke the bear. He tells me this is the first flight he's been on in 15 years. I couldn't help myself. Bro, we got to get you out more. Searching for God diligently means you're trying stuff. You're experimenting. If you're reading scripture, it's not to memorize it or I have a whole chapter memorized. If you memorize a whole chapter, instead of having it memorized, know that having it memorized is to develop your heart. What is in that passage that you're going to use regularly because you now have it memorized to change behavior? Because we want to get to the end of verse 6 where your path becomes straight. And nowhere in there does it talk about your thinking. I love that. And it's an absolute mystery to me. Because the desires of my heart are steeped in my head. Saturated in here. And I can't. I'm going to have to learn how to get my thoughts out of my heart desire. Scott, you're making no sense. Exactly. Interesting to me, the way only way that it starts to make sense for me right now is we have a God who knows how many things? He knows all things. He has all of the information. And rather than dabble and continue to function in the perfection of his omniscience, he lives in the heart and the emotion and the interactive relationship. Cozy, warm. Hey, come here. I want to talk to you. Where you been? I love the first phrase. That terrible question the serpent asked Eve. Hey, did God really say? And then they have that debacle, right? Eyes were open. They're making clothes for each other. Wait, we were naked this whole time. And then they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Run for the hills. Or hide behind the bushes, which is great comedy, right? To think you can hide from God. Ask Job, Noah, Jonah about that, hiding from God. What's the first thing Jesus says to them? Where are you? That is the weirdest lead question. My dad never led with that question. Get out here. Right? Does he ask him later, what have you done? Yeah, he does. But what's the first question? What's the lead in? Where are you? It's kind of like saying, come here. We were, and now we're, where are you? Was that a physical question or was that a mental, emotional, spiritual question? It's a heart question, I think. We'll know for sure when we get to heaven, we can ask him. Hey, what was that question about? But it's different than all the questions he could have led with. Amen? So I will leave with this. What are the questions that you lead with? Do you work to make things better based on heart rather than head? And how can your heart start to drive your mind? How can you start to function with your mind as a tool of heart desire? God's intent will instruction. That's where we'll land. Two phrases in. Four more to go. Amen. Father God, we thank you for our hearts. We thank you for the reality that in a world where there are so many things that we could measure and track, especially your law and how things work and how things don't work. In a world obsessed with failure and success, right and wrong, left and right, that you dabble in something that is almost impossible to measure. And you say you'll be okay. straight path is all that matters. Because I'll meet you on the path, and we're eventually going to be in heaven. But let's be together. I pray that, Lord, over this congregation. I pray that over those who are normally here. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability to see your heart in all things. Help us to search and train it diligently, that we might be one with you. And Lord, for those who've never made that decision, if you're here today and you know that it's finally time, maybe your prayer today is, Lord Jesus, I give you all of my heart. I give you all of my heart. I'll trust that you'll make sense of it later. But from this day forward, you and me, mostly you. If that's you, let me know. Come see me after. I'll be right here. But let's walk that journey together. We thank you, Lord, for the offering that we get to share today. And trust that you would use it. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, amen. You are free, not from his law, but from because of his heart. Amen?
Amen.
May your heart be completely his. Amen. Go with him.